Hi, this is Mira Hamidiani with Payments.com. We are here today with Mike Lavin, CEO of Currency Cloud, an online financial services organization specializing in international payments. Thank you for joining us today, Mike.
Thank you, Mira.
Okay, so to start us off, many companies find it difficult to expand internationally because of the challenges that arise from international payments. How does Currency Cloud help simplify this process for B2B, consumer, and e-commerce firms looking for a global presence?
So Currency Cloud looks at international payments in that a firm has many different kinds of payments to make. They could be paying payroll. They could be collecting receivables. They could be paying their bills to suppliers all over the world. They could be a marketplace for paying the individuals. They could be doing a treasury function for the company at the end of the month where they have foreign subsidiaries and they move funds back and forth from place to place. Each of those places that international payments take place actually are a different kind of application and have different kinds of providers. So the Currency Cloud looks at taking a whole series of providers and making them global. So we deal with e-billable companies. We deal with supply chain management companies. We deal with treasury management companies. We deal with accounting companies. And those firms deal with the end users. That way, what we do is we take every conceivable kind of place that an international payment could generate inside an organization and where that payment right now is being provided by a provider who does it on a domestic basis and makes that global. So our customers are the payment firms, and there are many kinds and many different ones who are providing services to their customers now, and we're globalizing the whole process.
So you've recently announced plans to expand your payment offerings to the U.S. market. What gaps are you hoping to fill, and what is your strategy for growth here?
So if you think of the world of payments at a very high level, there's been a tremendous amount of innovation in the U.S. in consumer payments, consumer international payments, migrant payments. Firms like Xoom and Remitly, and there's a long list of others, have brought a tremendous online presence to consumer payments or people paying their families in whether it's Guatemala or the Philippines or India. And there's also been a tremendous amount of innovation in the world of business payments, domestic business payments, whether it's Dwolla or many other players who work in the mobile market. And whether it's Stripe or Square and a whole series of innovation that's been going on in the mobile market and the domestic payment market. But if you think of those two pieces, the one piece that's been left out is innovation in the international payments market, where for the most part, payments themselves are still provided by banks. So I think it's about 85% of all international payments still move through banks. So you have innovation in consumer payment on an international basis. You have innovation in domestic business payment, but international is left out. And it's left out because it's harder. So our strategy is to try and fill that gap. And again, as I think as I described before, and it's to fill that gap by enabling or empowering a whole series of domestic providers to globalize and international their payments with their customers. I think, you know, this is the, in terms of the volume of international payment, the U.S., the largest economy, is, of course, the largest place of international payments, both supplier and consumer. And yet the payment system for international still lags way, way, way behind. So again, our strategy is very across the board, go to all the places that payments, international payments generate from and enable all of those firms to treat international payments in much the same way that they treat domestic.
So with foreign exchange rates constantly fluctuating, how do you provide real-time trade assurance to customers looking to make cross-border transactions?
Sure. So customers want to have both a low price, but perhaps as importantly, a transparent price. I think many people who travel internationally have been at an airport and seen a sign that says, you know, zero free for their own personal payment. And when you see that, you know that the price isn't transparent. It's not that the zero fee, it's that they're charging you a terrible exchange rate. And one of the problems in international payments now is the exchange rates, it's obscure. Some people who we talk to, they don't find out what they've actually been charged to the end of the month. So there are two issues in foreign exchange. The FX rate will fluctuate with the market. There's nothing we can do about that. It'll go up and down. I think if you saw last month in England, when there was the referendum in Scotland, the pound plunged for a week. And then after Scotland didn't become independent, the pound went back up. So that's going to happen. What people really want to know is that, one, that they're not paying an exorbitant price. In other words, that whatever that rate the market sets, that the vendor is taking a minimal markup, which we do. And secondly, and perhaps more important, is that the price is transparent, that you know what you're paying. So that when you click on enter, if you're buying 100 euro or 1,000 euro or 1 million euro, whatever that is, you know exactly the price that you're paying for it and how much you're going to get. And transparency is as important as price.
So let's talk a little bit about security. What type of authentication do you use to confirm that your customers' global funds are transferred securely?
So the business of international payments is all about security and compliance. I mean, a major component of what a firm like the Currency Cloud has to do is to meet the compliance regimes of both the U.S. government and a series of foreign governments. That means the checking of every payment for anti-money laundering restrictions. That means the information requirements of international payment, which are far more extensive than making a domestic payment. So we have a complete, inside the Currency Cloud, regulation and compliance procedure. And that becomes incredibly important. Funds that we receive from customers. And let me just make a point that right now we're handling about $7 billion, the rate of about $7 billion a year from our customers. So that there's a tremendous amount of customer confidence that's already been placed in the Currency Cloud. Funds are all secure. We work with major banks. We have global banking partners who are brand name banks who we work with both for the provision of foreign currencies and where the money is stored. And all funds are segregated. In other words, the funds that come from clients are not mixed with the funds of the firm. So we have a highly secure network that we use. We have segregated bank accounts, and we have a very, very strong and thorough compliance and regulatory regime that makes sure that all of the reporting to every state, to every jurisdiction, is all completely taken care of.
Okay, so to wrap things up, we're all about what's next in payments. So what's next for Currency Cloud? What does the roadmap look like?
Well, right now, I think as we talked about, we're expanding into the U.S. And the U.S., as I said before, is the largest payment market for international payments. But the percentage of international payments as a percentage of the global total economy is actually smaller than that of Europe. So though the volume is very large, it actually had not been that important until you got to now. One of the things I like to talk about is the international supply chain has totally globalized. So there's more goods produced outside of the U.S. Let's take an example of the clothing industry. Whereas previously, once a year, you'd ship the winter line in the winter, you'd ship the summer line in the spring, you'd ship the fall line in the summer. So there'd be one shipment, and that would be your clothing line. Now a place like Zara or many retailers have a two-week production cycle. That means that the number of shipments, which means the number of payments, has been growing up astronomically. So you have now within the U.S. international payments coming from farmers, coming from retail, coming from consumers, coming from all sorts of places with a decrease in the size of payments because payments that used to be large are now chopped up. So I think that the real issue in serving the U.S. market is just the diversity of where payments come from in international and the fact that they're not standard between the various applications and between the various businesses. So the principal challenge for the Currency Cloud is we're offering a platform that will service all sorts of different kinds of providers and many, many different kinds of payments. And we normalize all that. So when I think about what's next for us right now, it's being successful in the U.S. market and with the massive diversity of kinds of companies that we're seeing who all have the same problem, that the payments that they deal with are too complicated, that the bank's pricing is transparent, that their costs are too high. But solving the problem really involves our getting many different kinds of companies on the platform and providing them the service.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Mike, for taking the time to speak with us today about how Currency Cloud is solving problems in international payments. We look forward to speaking with you again soon.
Thanks a lot.